Praise God. This is week number two, class number three, talking about healing. Let's see here. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about healing as it pertains to the will of God. We need to know the will of God to understand that healing is for today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness, disease, affliction, infirmity, maiming, and all that other in heaven? No. So what's the will of God in heaven? Health. What's the will of God in earth? Health. You can't have health unless you're not first healed. So therefore, God's will has to be healing here on earth in order for us to walk in the health that He wants us to walk in. And again, a lot of these things just simply escape people. It's amazing to me. And I, you know, kind of grew up with some of this, but it's amazing to me how that we can talk about the will of God in so many different areas, but then when it comes to healing, oftentimes it's like there's this massive amount of confusion. And if you just get into the Word of God, you can understand what healing is all about, that divine healing, and you can refer to it, you know, miracles, whatever terms you like to use in this area. These things still happen today. And quite frankly, we're not seeing them happen enough through us. You know, we're the body of Christ, and we're supposed to be doing these things. Part of the problem is that we just don't understand. And we don't have that kind of knowledge and this kind of understanding. And when we are talking here, maybe next week I think it will be, it's either next week or the week after. When we actually start talking about the manifestation of healing and what takes place when that happens, and the ministering of healing to other people, when you begin to understand this process, then you're going to begin to understand really how easy healing can be. And just to kind of jump ahead, the biggest hindrance to manifested healing is unbelief. That is the biggest hindrance, is unbelief. Now, many people refute divine healing because they do not understand the origin of afflictions. When I say afflictions, again, I'm talking, you know, sickness or deformities, things like that. And again, go back to Genesis, that's the origin. If you understand that, then you can understand more about divine healing. Many people refute divine healing because they do not understand the work of Jesus. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And it was amazing how many verses I discovered in the Bible after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, they were in there the whole time, but I never heard them talk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, a lot of people talk about this being, it was a spiritual healing. Well, we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail later on, but you don't get healed spiritually. You're born again. You're either lost or you're born again. You know, it's one of the two. So, as far as spiritual healing itself, that is a little bit misleading, and we'll clarify it probably next week. Sounds like we're going to do a lot next week, doesn't it? Anyway, within the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about that. But by His stripes you were healed. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 53, because Peter essentially was, you know, quoting or referring to this passage. And we're not going to go through the entire passage or the whole chapter, but we are going to look at a couple of verses. Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Now let's break this down and take a look at these two verses. The word born, I'm not going to try to pronounce all of the Hebrew words in here. The word born means to carry off or to take away. The word griefs means malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, sickness. The word carried, it implies using strength in order to bear. Now, a good example of this is a pack mule. You know, you take a pack mule and how many of you remember years ago, what was the name of that series? One wagon train. It was something like 20 mule team. Death Valley. Was that it? Death Valley. Yeah. And at the beginning, it had, you know, a 20 mule team. All right. Well, Borax was the sponsor of that. All right. No, Borax was not the name of the show. And on Borax soap, it had the picture. You know, the 20. All right, 20. A 20 mule team that had to do with mining and all this other. You had to have 20 mules to haul the heaviness of this load. Well, this word here, carried, gives that image. In other words, something or somebody, in this case, other than you, is using their ability, their strength, to carry something or to bear something. The word sorrows means anguish, affliction, grief, pain, sorrow. The word wounded means profaned, defiled, done violence to. Transgressions, sin, trespass, wickedness, rebellion, faithlessness, apostasy, willful deviation from the path of righteousness, premeditated breaking of God's law, a rebellious act of rejecting God's authority. The word bruised means to be humbled, to be cast down, to break, to crush, oppress, afflicted. The word iniquities, depraved actions, perversities, crimes, faults, and the action for all such, or the penalty for all such actions. The word chastisement, punishment, correction, discipline. The word iniquities, depraved actions, perversities, crimes, faults, the penalty for all such actions. Chastisement, punishment, correction, discipline. And the word healed means mend, cure, heal, thoroughly make whole, the work of a physician. So if we paraphrase Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 5, it says, one way to paraphrase it, surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He has used his own strength to perform the labor necessary to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pain, and sorrow. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. That's powerful. When you understand, I mean, quite frankly, if these two verses alone should be all a person needs to convince them that divine healing is still for today. Now, let's think for a moment, put ourselves in Jesus' place. If you were Jesus and you had gone through all of that, wouldn't you maybe get a little upset with God if he turned around and said it was his will for somebody to be sick? I mean, wouldn't you maybe have a tendency to stand up and say, excuse me, Father, but would you like to see my back again? Would you like to see my hands again? How about my side? How about my head, you know, the thorns and all that? I mean, Father, I don't understand this. I went down there to destroy the works of the devil. I went down there to bear all of this for them. I went down there so that they could experience the fullness of salvation. I went down there so that they could have life and have it more abundantly. And I died on that cross. And I excruciating pain, Father, all of this. And now you've changed your mind and there are people that you don't want to have this? Why did I go down there, Father? I don't understand. See, when you put it in that kind of a perspective, it makes no sense whatsoever to teach against divine healing. Now, let me just clue you in a little bit concerning divine healing. Remember how that we traced sickness and disease and all these things back to Genesis and what happened then and how it's, you know, progressed down through the ages. Divine healing is where we begin to see corruption changed to incorruption. All right, now let's think of it just for a moment. Let's say that there are cells in your body diagnosed as whatever you want to call it, you know, cancer or something like that. Medically, those things are in your body. Well, divine healing works to change that condition. So let's just kind of simplify it. The corruption is the cancer. The non-corruption is no cancer, right? It's no cancer. And so divine healing is working to correct a condition that is a form of corruption, which is a result of what happened back in Genesis chapter 3. Now, even the common cold fits into that. The common cold is a corruptive work in your body, is it not? If you never had one, then you don't know. But I think we can all relate to things like that. Well, that's a very minor, very simple example. I can remember one time there was a lady who was in a prayer line at a Kenneth Copeland meeting. And she came up, prayer for something. healing for something, and she said, well, you know, pray for me, you know, for healing, blah blah, this thing here. So he prayed for her, and he noticed that, you know, she was kind of walking. There's something wrong with her. No, it was her arm. I think it was her arm. Her arm was like in a sling or something like that. And he said, well, hold on here. You know, I'll pray for that too. She jerked back and said, oh, no, I'm saving that for Oral Roberts. True story. I'm saving that for Oral Roberts. Oh, anyway. Divine healing is like a work that changes a corruption. And that word corruption, you know, that's a term that can cover a whole lot of different things. But that's really what divine healing, one way to put it, is about. Now, many Christians refute divine healing because they are deceived. God's word is very clear about the present-day reality of healing. Now, let me just interject this. I don't think it's in there in the notes anywhere. There are a lot of people that that because they don't see healing taking place, they assume it's not for today. I mean, if it were God's will, and if it were going to happen, well, then bless God, it would be happening in our church. But since it's not happening in our church, then it must not be God's will. Because, you know, we are God's favorite. And so, there's an assumption. If it's not happening, it must not be God's will. In other words, if God's not sovereignly doing it, because you guys sure aren't doing anything at all to facilitate the thing. If God's not just sovereignly doing it, then it must not be His will. Because if it were His will, He would be sovereignly moving in your midst and healing would be manifesting all over the place. Well, that's not true. And when we talk about ministering healing to people, we're going to understand that a little bit more. So a lot of folks are deceived in this. And if you look over in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus made the statement and said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So now this 13th verse alone tells us that even though we can find something in the word of God that is His will, if a tradition has trained me to believe otherwise, then I will be believing against God's will. And if I'm not believing along the line of God's will, then why in the world should I expect to see the fullness of His will manifested in my body? Again, the very easy illustration is being born again. It is God's will for people to be born again. That's why Jesus died, and whosoever believeth. But if I don't agree with that and accept Him, God's will, plainly stated in His word, will not be manifested in my life, and I won't be born again. Likewise, when it comes to healing, see, I have heard stories of people who maybe have grown up being taught against healing. They don't believe it, they don't believe it, they don't believe it, it's not for today, and blah, blah, blah. Funny thing is, though, some of them will go to a Benny Hinn meeting. Now, there's something wrong somewhere. If you don't believe it's for today, then why are you going to a Benny Hinn meeting? Do you see what I'm saying? So, the religious doctrine and the traditions, all their lives have told them it's not for today. It died out. It's not this. It's not healing died. Yeah. It's not for today. But there's something in them that doesn't want to believe that. And they're hoping that this Benny Hinn guy has got more power than the traditions of my pastor. And they go. And I've heard stories of people that have gone to a Benny Hinn meeting, gotten healed, gone back to their church, and they were still told, it's not for today. Miracles in their bodies take place, and they're still told, it's not for today. I'm standing before you as living proof that something happened. Now, if you can convince me that Satan is the one who healed me of this. Remember when the fellow was healed, and the Pharisee said, well, who healed you? And he says, man, I did, you know, this guy over here. Why, he's of the devil. He says, hey, devil or not, I don't know. What I do know is that I was blind and now I see. Same thing happened back then. It's happening today. It's no different. It's incredible how that we don't learn from these things. Well, we are, bless God. But you know what I'm saying. And so he says, your traditions make the word of God of none effect. Or you're kind of rendering it ineffective. And then over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I don't know, it's just amazing to me how somebody can look at a person that received a manifestation of healing in their body and then tell them it's not for today. You know, what are you going to say about that? It's right before your eyes. Well, anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, when it comes to healing, we see that. This passage is a reference of sorts to this thing of healing's not for today and God doesn't work this way anymore. Well, it says, shall depart from the faith. Now, when you see in the Word of God that it is His will for healing to still be in operation today, then the only way that I can teach against that is if I depart from the faith as it relates to healing. So I've given in. He tells you how this happens. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So somehow, somewhere along the line, in my church or my organization, somebody has given an ear to a seducing spirit or a doctrine of devils. And it's led them to twist Scripture and then stand up and begin to preach to people that this stuff is not for today. Healing is not for today. And the problem that we have, and in one way it's a problem, but in another way it's not. It's a good thing that we are willing to acknowledge that somebody speaking in front of us may know more than what we do. In other words, you know, we're kind of submitted to their authority at the time that they're speaking to us. But the problem in that is, we take it too far sometimes and assume that the person standing up doing the teaching knows a whole lot more than we do to the point that everything they say is right. Well, that's not true. And many of us have experienced that in our own lives. Things that we believed were so true, we found out later, they weren't true. Well, as it relates to healing, many of us have been taught things in our past. Healing's not for today. Well, that is a deceptive teaching, and we lived in deception. But you know, I can tell you this. I've received manifestations of healings in my body that go completely against the traditions that I was taught. But one of the things that helped me was to get past the traditions and go back into the Word to find out what God has to say about all this. Many Christians imply that belief in divine healing is fanatical and illogical. I mean, you know, that is a pathetic thing to teach. This isn't just hearsay stuff. There are people out there that say this. And so what? We go to people that, you know, the doctors have only given them days, and we tell them that to believe for healing is fanatical and illogical. Why don't we just walk into the room and say, why don't you just die now and get it over with? What's the difference? Because we're telling them there's no hope. If the doctors tell them no hope, and then we come in as their ministers and we tell them there's no hope. Oh, what kind of hope do they have? See what I'm saying? There's no hope. So just die. I mean, just go ahead and get the suffering over, die, and go on to heaven. That really is going to be the best thing for you at that time. Unless, praise God, you got, you know, some nurse or doctor, somebody come in there. I mean, somebody to change the bedpan. Come in and just start ministering to you. And start speaking hope to you. Start speaking the Word of God to you and help you understand. Because I'll tell you this. Most people, if they're looking at death's door, they want somebody to come along and give them hope. Even people that are born again and they know they're going to go to heaven, there's still something about wanting to be here. You know, maybe none of us in here can actually relate to that, but we can conceptualize it in our minds. And maybe we've encountered people that are like that. Yeah, I'm ready to go. And you know, it's my personal conviction, and you don't have to agree with this or not, but it's my personal conviction that until you start getting way up in, you know, like the very late 80s, 90s, into triple digits, you're not ready to go. And I know I've heard people say, well, you know, they, you know, 41. Well, you know, they lived their life. It must just have been the thing for God to do. No, I don't see it. I don't see that in the Word. Well, they just fulfilled their life's calling. At 41, I don't think so. No. And now listen, the only people that I have really the testimonies, this is a better way to put it, the testimonies from the people that have the attitude of, well, you know, I'm ready to go, those are the people that are in their very late 80s and into their 90s. Now, some folks, when they're dealing with sickness and disease, and they reconcile, they make a determination to die. They stop fighting. Now, I can't relate to that. And here's what I mean. I don't know what it's like to have a body racked with some kind of sickness or disease and so much pain that I choose to stop fighting. I don't know what that's like. And I say, praise God, in Jesus' name, I'll never know what that's like. And I say, praise God, in Jesus' name, none of you are ever going to know what that's like. I don't know what that's like to go through that kind of physical pain and torment. And it's very possible that I'd be like that. You know what I'm saying? That I'd just say, man, I just want to go. I just let it be over now. Take me, Jesus. Because when you start talking about severe pain and all that, that does a number on you. I mean, and we can even relate to if you ever had like broken bones, or you ever stubbed your toe in the middle of the night when you try, you know, I mean, those are minor things. But boy, sometimes the pain just shoots through your body and you lose your sanctification and discover words you thought you'd never going to use again. Not me, not you, I know. Other people. Well, you know, if you magnify something like that, I can't imagine how that would affect us emotionally. And in our minds and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Well, nevertheless, wrong teaching can get people to believe that healing's not for today. And they're deceived in this. And many, many Christians teach that God uses sickness to teach people. That's crazy. God's will, revealed in His Word, totally refutes this. If this were true, then the Pharisees, who constantly opposed Jesus, would have become deathly ill. And so would anybody that stands up and adamantly opposes the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit today, saying it's of the devil and stuff. I mean, if God was going to teach people about things, people like that are the ones, they should be very, very sick. Well, we know better than that. Well, we should. God does not use sickness and disease to teach you something. And there is absolutely nothing in the Old Testament or the New Testament to substantiate this. Turn over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this verse implies that God put these things on them. If you go down and Hebrew out this passage, what it is literally saying is, these things will not be permitted to come upon you, as they were permitted to come upon the Egyptians. These things will not be permitted to come upon you, or I will not permit them to come upon you as it was permitted for them. Now, again, please keep in mind, we're talking about Old Testament sin nature people here. But in the Old Testament, there was provision for this. Now look again, or look over in Exodus chapter 23. Similar statements. In verse 25, it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Now, you know what you see there in verse 26? There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. That's talking about healing of their animals. Healing of their animals. In other words, your flocks will be strong, which is interesting. People have asked about, you know, in the past I've heard things about, well, you know, is it okay to pray for sick animals and so forth? Well, why not? I mean, worst thing can happen, they'll die, right? I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, seriously, why not? I mean, if anybody ever here, you know, you've ever had a sick dog or a sick cat or what, parakeet, whatever, I mean, you pray for them, you know. I mean, God's not going to chastise you anyway, especially if you've got kids in the house, man. You better pray for them. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Yeah, your kids go in there and pray for them and get them healed. Deuteronomy 7:13. He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, thy increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give unto thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Up, there it is, healing of animals and people. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, we're not going to go any further in this passage, but this is talking about healing and restoration. If you look over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? I ask you, is healing a good thing? If you've ever been sick, you think so. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might have the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, this whole doctrine of, God makes people sick to teach them a lesson is birthed out of ignorance, and it is motivated by devils. I mean, who else but a devil is going to want to perpetrate and perpetuate that kind of a teaching? It sure isn't going to be God. It's sure not going to be the Holy Spirit. And God teaches us spiritually through His Word and the Holy Spirit. We've learned this in the past. He teaches us through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. If you reject that kind of a teaching, one of the things that a lot of people, and I've heard these kind of testimonies, God, He had to make me sick, had to lay me out on my back there in that hospital room so I'd, finally learn something from Him. Well, I beg to differ with you. You could have learned it beforehand. It's just that when you were laid up and on your back and couldn't do anything, you made a choice to finally spend some time in fellowship. You were a captive audience. And so you made a decision to start reading your Bible more, to start praying some more. And He was able, you weren't distracted by all the things at work and all the things here and all the things there. I mean, you could have received this by separating yourself from distractions, like in a prayer closet or somewhere. But because you didn't, and you waited until the bad thing happened, then you decided to have fellowship with Him, well, He's able to get across some things to you that He could have given you the whole time. It's just that you weren't in a position to receive this. And then also, when you think about the Old Testament, how that the sickness and disease, the afflictions and all of that, it was directly related to the people breaking the law, turning their backs on God. God made it very clear to them. He already taught them. Live according to the law. This stuff doesn't happen. Step away from the law. Break the law. Walk away from me. And this stuff's going to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the people say yes. And then guess what happened? They did it. So it wasn't that God put it on them to teach them. They had already been taught. So, well, how do you know that they knew they'd already been taught? How many times did they go back to Him and do the things commanded by the law to receive healing, to put an end to affliction and sickness and plagues and things that were happening? So they already knew. It's just that when they broke what God told them not to break, they ended up with these things. And when it comes to being taught, let me ask you something. Those of you in the past, you've been really sick in your body, the flu or whatever. And I mean, sick. You don't want the TV on. You don't want the curtains open. You don't want the lights on. You don't want anybody to talk to you. You want to be left alone. You want to eat, but you don't want to eat. You're thirsty, but you don't want to drink. And it's easy to concentrate on the Bible. And it's easy to concentrate to the teaching tapes that you're playing the whole time, isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's crazy. It's easier to learn when you're healthy, is it not? Likewise, sickness and affliction are counterproductive to evangelism. How many of you know that wheelchairs don't roll very easily in a jungle? It's kind of difficult to navigate in the bush if you're blind. Speaking of blind, this happened on national TV. And I don't know for sure if it was TBN or Benny Hinn's program, but Benny Hinn was there. There's a blind lady there. And he was, in the course of the conversation, he offered to pray for this woman. Right there on television. Now, this is a lady that goes out and ministers to people. But she's blind. Now, he offered to pray for her and encourage her. You know, God will heal this. You know, you can see and all that. And he was going to pray for her right then and there, right on TV. You know what she did? She said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. Because as long as I have this, I'm better able to minister to blind people." Is that deception or what? No, see, she would have been better able to minister to blind people if she could see. Then she wouldn't need somebody leading her around. Then she could walk in and say, "What God has done for me, He'll do for you too." She could have laid her hands on blind people. It's hard to tell. I mean, you can preach. I can stand up here and tell you that God heals eyes. And I know that. As I'm standing here tonight, I have contact lenses in my eyes. But I know that according to the Word of God, it's God's will for that healing to manifest in my eyes. And I speak to my eyes. And I call them healed. And I will continue to do so, no matter how foolish or silly that seems to other people. Because I know that God didn't plan. It's not God's will for this kind of thing to happen, to exist in my body. Now, I stand up and I preach this healing, I teach this healing, and I know it's true. I know for every one of us in here that have corrective lenses, it's God's will for our eyes to be healed. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The day that I stand up here and I say, "Hey, it's 2020 with no corrective lenses. It's 2010 with no corrective lenses. Man, I can see the whiskers on a gnat at 50 yards. Praise God." That may have a little more impact on people, but I will not stop praying for people, laying hands on people for healing of eyes. I won't do that just because I have corrective lenses. I will continue to believe God. And I will say another thing. When my healing manifests, if it manifests because somebody else has laid, if Benny Hinn or somebody has laid hands on me, praise God. I don't care. However it manifests, through my confession, through the hands of somebody else, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. I just know that provision's been made for this, for me and for every single one of us in here. And many Christians refute healing because they don't believe the Bible. Now, that sounds like an amazing thing to say. You go into any church where Jesus is preached and everybody says, "Oh, yeah, we believe the Bible." Well, what about healing? Oh, healing's not for today. What does the Bible say? Well, we believe the Bible. Well, what about healing? Well, healing's not for today. So then you really don't believe the Bible. Oh, no, we believe the Bible. We're a Bible church. Well, what's the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Take a look at verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, are the issues of life." Now, we're going to draw a connection between this and a manifestation of healing later on, but the Word of God right here, He says, "My Word, it's life, it's health." Look over in Psalm 107. Very similar type of passage. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now turn over to John chapter 6. A very similar passage, very similar verse to what we've just read. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. It's not just a matter of spiritual life. It's a matter of life to that which is in lack of life. Now let's use my eyes again as an illustration. The fullness of life has not yet manifested in my eyes because of their need for corrective lenses. But the moment that the fullness of life has manifested in my eyes, they will no longer need corrective lenses. Life does not need glasses. Now, maybe that's kind of a silly illustration, but I said that to try and drive home a point that the Word of God, it's not just spiritual life, it's life as it relates to everything. And a good example is back over there in Genesis. God's Word is life. He spoke His Word, or He spoke His life. Creation came into existence. And then when you take a look at how the various forms of plant life and animal life came about into existence, He spoke His Word, which was speaking His life. And all of a sudden, you've got trees, and you've got flowers, and you've got birds, fish, animals. You have life because He spoke it, and it produced that form of life. If more Christians simply allowed God's Word instead of man's traditions to be the foundation of what they believe, there would be less conflict over healing, and we'd understand it more. Well, Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. It has gone forth. We receive it into our hearts. May it transform our minds as seed sown in our spirits, Father. We say it will prosper and it will produce the thing that You've sent it to accomplish in our lives. I thank You for ever-increasing understanding of healing, Father. We just give You the glory that the price has been paid for this. We glorify You, Father. We walk in the light as You are in the light. We have fellowship, Father, one with another, and fellowship with You. Now, as we leave this place, Father, by faith, we receive divine protection. And we thank You for it. And again, Father, we say in Jesus' name that the wicked, evil spirits of Islam are torn down over in the Middle East. We say, Father, the power of Your glory is released into the Middle East. We say the demonic spirits operating through Saddam Hussein and all those other people over there, we say in Jesus' name they cease and desist their activity. We speak continued confusion into the camp of the enemy, Father. And we say Iraqis are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and in the midst of revival. Father, may Iraq turn from a place of warfare to a place of revival in the Middle East. Father, may it spread throughout the Middle East. May the world take notice. Father, we just thank You for protection over the troops. We don't want our side to die. We don't want their side to die. Father, we want this thing to end, and we want their side to know Jesus, and we want our side to know Jesus. So, Father, we just proclaim these things, and we just speak defeat into the enemy's plans. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll see you.